Bet you guys didn't expect that this week, huh? That's what two cups of coffee will do for you, especially when you get to sleep in on the day. Welcome back to the show. It's been a minute, as the kids like to say, I guess, but since I've done a solo episode. So I'm glad to be back on it. It's been crazy with work and getting all the stuff ready to move and all that crazy mess, but back in the saddle. Kind of working on some stuff, but I figured to get this one out to you guys. This week I'm going to be talking about You've Got Mail, the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan romantic comedy endeavor. But before we delve into that, I want to spend a little bit of time on some movie news. I did get to cover it in the Pirates episode. Just because I didn't have time for it or just forgot. But we're going to talk a little bit about the casting of Tom Holland in the Uncharted movie. Now, I'm a big fan of the Uncharted series. If you guys aren't familiar, they are video games. They were made for PlayStation. The first one came out several years ago. And there's been four installments, and it's been in production development hell for... Oh, geez, I guess just a few years now trying to get off the ground. A lot of rumors, a lot of rumblings as far as, you know, who are they going to cast, you know, where's it going to go. But they announced, I guess it was, the time this released, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, him being cast in it, which I think is an interesting grab. I think they're obviously going for a younger Nathan Drake, who is the main character of the Uncharted series. Which I think if they do it right, this is a big if. If they do it right, I think they can have a pretty interesting property on their hands. From what we've seen from Tom Holland so far, he's very charismatic. He's very, I think, dynamic with what he can do. I think he can fill those shoes pretty well. Again, now, video game movies have a reputation, there we go, for not being necessarily executed well when it comes to film. So there's part of me that's a little bit nervous when it comes to this because, A, like, it's a property that I love. And if you guys aren't familiar, it's kind of, I guess the best way I could put it is similar to kind of a more modern, updated Indiana Jones type of feel. A lot of action adventure with there's like some mythology thrown in there, some fun things. Now the other casting is what we need to get to here. So in the Uncharted series, Nathan Drake has a mentor whose name is Sully, and he's kind of this older guy. You know, he's more seasoned, kind of walked in the same boots. You know, he's been around the world, he's done a lot of things, and he's kind of been his mentor. And he's a big part of the Uncharted series and in the franchise. And I'm actually, it's weird because I saw this today. Tom Holland, I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw that there was rumored that he wants Chris Pratt to play that role. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, no, we don't need Chris Pratt. Like, I understand they're both, if they're going for like a younger Nathan Drake and kind of build into this character and probably this franchise. I mean, you guys probably know my feelings of Chris Pratt at this point. The trouble with him is just the writing. And in part two, the Sully character is a little bit more seasoned. I get, you know, if you're going to cast him a little bit younger, kind of grow into the role. I don't think Chris Pratt, he just doesn't have like that mentor vibe to me, like that kind of presence that you'd want. And I know there are some rumors at some point, like there is potential like a Marky Mark. And the De Niro playing the Sully character, I mean, that was kind of rumored for a while as well. So there was just kind of a lot of different ones floating around. I think maybe not De Niro, but a De Niro-esque type Somebody of that era, I think, is kind of who you want, who's also kind of charismatic and charming, but you kind of love him. It'd be pretty meta, but it'd be interesting to see, like, a Harrison Ford kind of in that role, because it's kind of got that, you know, that swagger a little bit. But, you know, you have to keep in mind, you're probably going to sign on for, you know, God willing, like, two or three movies. So, it's good to see that was a cast. I think it's going to go in an interesting direction. I remember looking up the director. He hasn't really done anything much that I'm aware of. And that's a big issue when it comes to the comic book movies, because, you know, you spend all this money making the movie, but I think you should probably spend your money on the director. Like, I mean, you know, it's kind of a cat and mouse game, but the director is obviously like the driving force behind, one of the main driving force behind what makes it good. So we'll see. Stay tuned for some more Uncharted news. Really interesting property. If you guys haven't played the games at all, definitely worth checking out just for the story alone. And I think that's something that this movie's going to have going for it, is that even the stories within the game are really well told. And hopefully that'll translate to screen. Hopefully they'll bring some of the same writers and kind of figure out where they're going from there. Other than that, trying to think when this will release. Wonder Woman's sticking around at like 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if that's, I guess that's news at this point. Again, we'll see. I hope it's good. I mean, you guys obviously know how we feel about DC at this point. Shouldn't be too hard movies to make, but, you know, they've proved themselves wrong there too. So, hopefully this will be the one that breaks the mold and is good and doesn't bring in Martha. So, anyways, I think that's kind of all the movie news I want to touch on at this point. Since, you know, these are shorter episodes, we're going to get into You've Got Mail. So, 1998 rolls around. Just going to take a sip here of this coffee while you guys are driving or working. Refreshing. Okay, so Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, obviously coming off of, I believe Sleepless in Seattle came beforehand. Obviously, this was kind of a power movie couple back in the 90s. You know, these are the type of movies I like. You know, when you find some chemistry that works. Obviously, Sleepless in Seattle, Joel and the Volcano, that's a throwback for you guys. It's always fun to kind of see, you know, like a pairing of a couple and kind of doing different stories and different takes on a movie. And it can get tiring too, but for me, I think You've Got Mail is where Nora Ephron, the director, hit it on the head. Now, I want to talk a little bit kind of about what it's going to be like. Obviously, dating, this was in the 90s and the merging of the internet and today. So I'm going to get into that a little bit. But spoilers on a 20-year-old movie, I guess, at this point. But so the premise of the movie is Meg Ryan. She's a bookstore owner. And obviously, this movie was based on a book called The Shop Around the Corner. And that's kind of a nod to the book in the movie, is, you know, that's the name of her shop. So she's opening this little book. She's been running this little bookshop for a while. And Tom Hanks is playing this kind of dynasty character who is taking over his grandfather and his father's company of Fox and Sons Books, F-O-X. And it kind of sets the characters up, obviously, for the rest of the movie, in opposition to each other. And it's fun to kind of watch that play out. Now, I've probably seen this movie, not going to lie, at least a dozen times, if not more. To me, this is one of those movies. It's not like it's a phenomenal movie, but it's one of those ones like I pop in and like it just gives me that really like good, warm feeling watching it. There's some drama, but it's not like overblown where it's like, okay, I got to really contemplate my life and relationships in this movie. It's just a very kind of simple story, and we're going to let Hanks be Hanks and Meg be Meg. And that's perfect. You know, that's what you need in the 90s. That's kind of what you get. Obviously, there's Dave Chappelle in this movie, too. I was rewatching. Every time I forget, I'm like, oh, Dave Chappelle's in this movie. And also Steve Zahn. Oh, and Greg Kinnear. Like, it just kind of, it's one of those ones every time I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. And then I kind of forget. It's like, oh, these other people, too, which I think elevates the movie kind of to another level as well. But, so the movie kind of starts out, obviously, with a really crude computer graphics of New York, which looks abysmal today, but it was probably, like, Avatar groundbreaking at the time. And it kind of goes through the streets of New York and open up on the apartment, and we have some voiceover. And it's just funny looking back. So I guess the kind of the underlying premise of the movie is I kind of set up, you know, what they're doing as far as job-wise, but the underlying kind of, I guess, love relationship is they're going back and forth via email or, I guess, AOL chat rooms. You guys remember those days, the dial-up, the weir, weir. I remember those days. I may be young, but I remember those days, and I was still around when the VCR was a thing, so it's just funny looking back how technology has took... That's the washer, if you guys hear it. has grown leaps and bounds in just how we communicate with each other. So they kind of have this underlying relationship of they've kind of gone back and forth for, I guess, a few months or weeks at that point. And they're both in separate relationships. And there's complete anonymity. I think I nailed that word, guys. I'm not going to lie. I practiced that word for like 2 minutes before I hopped on here. I was like, okay, I know I'm going to use it. So we better make sure that it comes out right. So there's they're completely anonymous to each other. All they know is they've just had these very like passive conversations. They don't know anything personal. They don't know what they do, where they live, yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. So that's just interesting looking back on as far as how people interacted online then versus now is now there's no way that would happen just because of like smartphones and apps and online dating sites, like you can like select your profile down to these 14 people and they make this and they live within here and they look like this. So it's just interesting looking on that aspect of, wow, like people were so excited to go online for the first time. And that's just interesting too, just kind of commenting on our culture of, you know, when we first came online, it was like this whole new experience and we had access to people that we never would have access to, even if they live, like, you know, pun intended, I guess, right around the corner. Just because, you know, whatever you do in your life or the way your job works, you know, it wouldn't dictate that you see that person. So the internet opened up a world of possibilities for you to meet these people and communicate with them. So that wasn't even in the forefront of our in our minds at the time of, oh, well, what are they? I mean, I guess, you know, it obviously is, but like, you know, what they look like and all this stuff to where before it was just kind of like the Wild West. And now it's like so fine tuned of, you know, how you meet people. So that was just an interesting aspect from that as well. So I guess as the movie progressed, Tom Hanks, he kind of goes into store. He's kind of checking things out a little bit. And he actually realizes later in the movie that he's the guy she's been talking with, and that's a very fun little moment. There's not like a lot of like big scenes I think really worth talking about. I think just the chemistry between them is really interesting. You know, the whole dinner scene where he's taking all the caviar and the garnish, it was just like, it's hard not to love Tom Hanks. I'm sorry. So yeah, the chemistry is really good between the two. I think one of the things I enjoy the most is as the movie progresses, obviously the relationship that Hanks and Ryan are in, apart from each other, you know, those start to kind of divulge as well. So Greg Kinnear kind of is a very self-obsessed writer, and the woman that Tom Hanks is with is very, I guess, self-absorbed as well and just kind of uninteresting or mean or whatever. And they kind of start falling for each other, and that kind of is like a whole, I guess, B plot line. But the scene where they finally decide to meet, you know, she's kind of been having issues with her shop, and it's kind of coming to a head in public life to where he's kind of putting her out of business, and she's becoming really frustrated. So she's still talking to him, but she doesn't know that he's the one putting her out of business. So it's kind of this whole dynamic, and I love just, it's not like overplayed. It's just very kind of, it flows natural, which I think really works. So she says, you know, I'm so frustrated in the whole Godfather scene of, you know, go to the mattresses. So they finally decide to meet, and Hanks and Chappelle are kind of walking towards the place where they're going to meet. It's fantastic. Beautiful. So he walks in, 2 for 2. He walks in. I got to stop. I'm going to keep going back. I'm just going to get stuck in this time loop. So he's in the little restaurant whenever, and Chappelle kind of looks in, and he sees her, and he sees the rose, which is the indicator of, you know, that's who I'm going to be. And little side note, too, like, it's just so interesting, too, of how they kind of shaped these characters, I think, going into, I guess, meeting for the first time versus, like, I think dating now is just, like, you don't know what to expect and also don't expect anything. It was just, I think that's just an interesting dynamic, too, of, you know, now versus when you build, like, these kind of online sort of, I guess, kind of fickle, like, relationships is, like, you have to put, like, so much, I guess, kind of work, maybe not work, but effort into, like, talking to this person, and you can just cut it off so quick. You know, and that goes both ways as well, but it was interesting just seeing that from that perspective of, like, oh, they're actually going into this excited. Well, I guess there was, like, a brief scene of, like, oh, well, what if he or she looks like this? You know, it wasn't like this kind of thing we're dreading, which, you know, it kind of plays into the charm of the movie, too, because you don't want to remind it too much of real life. I mean, come on. So Chappelle goes, well, if you don't like her, like, that's not my Chappelle impression. I just went Lincoln Osiris. Look, check it out. So he says, well, if you don't like her, you're definitely not going to like this woman. He goes, why? Because it is her. And I just love, like, that moment for Tom Hanks. It's like, oh, man, I really want to be with her, but I kind of put myself in the way. So how do I fix this in spite of me? I think for me, like, that's kind of the turning point of the movie where I really start to enjoy it, is despite, like, whatever things they had going on personally or business-wise, it becomes more personal at that moment because he's trying to get out of his own way in a sense, in a way, a way in a sense in a way. So as the movie kind of progresses, he really just kind of starts to befriend her and really kind of start building this actual kind of relationship and camaraderie despite, you know, whatever happened on the business end. And I just love the writing aspect of he kind of plays and sets himself up to kind of be the winner there where... you know, he kind of starts asking her, well, what about this guy, you know? Hey, that's a terrible Tom Hanks. It's the coffee kicking in, guys. It's all good. But he sets himself up to essentially win her over. And I think that's just a fun dynamic to watch play out, too, of, you know, I'm going to kind of ask about him and then make him seem really good and then present myself to see if, you know, she would actually fall for me. Because I think the reason why this movie works is she kind of fell in love with the side of him that she never really fully got to see because of the business and the books and, you know, all that mess. So she never really got to see that side. And that's the side she fell in love with. And he uses that to his advantage. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to show her all these other aspects of me, and then when they meet at the end, you know, it's like, oh, I really wanted it to be you, and, you know, kind of movie over. So I don't know, it's just one of those movies that it always kind of gives me a warm feeling inside, but I think it was just more interesting the way it made me think about Just even like the dating and the meeting people aspect. Because I never really kind of thought about it before. And I think just being like actively like dating and like going and seeing people or whatever. I was really like conscious of it, of, you know, she's typing and they're like via email. I'm like, man, this is so like, there's some similarities, but it's just vastly different. I mean, obviously, you know, within the movie, it's kind of more of a glorified romantic kind of version of it. But, you know, I think maybe this movie comes out today, you get a little bit more of the, well, I got to filter through like these 12 people, you know, kind of more of the whole like dating montage type of thing. And I think that's what I appreciate about this movie is there's really none of that. It's just like they were kind of seeing other people and then they actually kind of like each other. So that part I like, but I was so conscious of it, of like, man, she's typing via email. Does anybody type via email? You know, we're all like texting and everything and Snapchatting and just all these like billion forms of communication. I think it's just interesting. I think for my generation, it's we've really kind of lost the social aspect of meeting and talking with people, just because it's so much easier to, you know, send a text or, you know, just kind of this very facade form of communication. To whereas I think, you know, back in the 90s, and it's kind of portrayed in the movie a little bit, is they were actually excited to, you know, this is obviously some generalization and there's caveats to it, but generally they were excited to talk to one another and wanted to get to know each other, because it's this very new thing and we all have access to it. It could change our lives. And I think now it's just become so normalized that, you know, I don't really have to go outside my comfort zone or talk to people or do anything just because, like, I have access to 14 guys near me or, well, why would guys, I don't know. But, like, you know, that's, I think, what's kind of anesthetized us being social creatures is just because we have access to it and we've taken it for granted, nobody really gets, like, excited anymore. Because even now, like, and just from some of the dating experience, like, I've had, is, like, you can kind of talk to people for, you know, a week or two or whatever. And even, like, going on kind of, like, that first date, it's still, like, I don't know what to expect. Like, you know, so it's just kind of an interesting way of working backward and how that's evolved a little bit, too. And if you want to tie it into kind of another episode, I believe I did several weeks ago, was Her, which is kind of like the further end of the spectrum, you know? So I think crazy movies to tie together, but if we're talking about like technology and relationships, you start with something like, you know, You've Got Mail in the 90s, where it's like, you know, the internet is just starting up. We have no idea what all it can do. We can go to American Online and we have MySpace, you know, and like, that's kind of about it. Versus now, you know, it's kind of in a weird place. Like, I think a lot of it is transitioned out from the social aspect, and has moved online because, you know, a lot of people are working 40-hour work weeks. And, you know, they might not always have the weekends off. So it's like, okay, well, I have a Tuesday off. Where do I go on Tuesday night to meet people, right? Like, so I think a lot of that has changed that aspect. Now, there's some positives and negatives to that. But you see Her on, like, the other end of the spectrum, to where it's like, now we're just having relationships with basically AI and robots. Like, we've cut off, like, all form of communication, well, maybe not communication with people, but just attaching ourselves to people. And I think that's kind of a tough line to walk of, you know, you still have to put yourself in that situation to meet people and talk with people. So it's just interesting kind of the spectrum, you know, where that lies on. Whereas, you know, when this was just first starting up, you had to be social with people. Like, if you were, you couldn't hide behind like your phone and emojis and, I'm a big avid of GIFs. It's GIFs, not GIFs. If you say GIFs, please stop listening to this podcast right now. It is GIFs. Moms use GIF. You send a GIF. There. It's settled. It's law. It's in the It's in the stone tablets. It's done. So yeah, it's just interesting just seeing the different spectrums and how it's kind of played out now. I mean, and that's the reason I like the movie is, you know, obviously it was an internet relationship that worked out, but they didn't overplay their hand. And I think that's the reason why, You've Got Mail works for me. Overall, it's probably not as good as I think. So I think it's for me, it's like an 8. Like, I will rewatch this movie to like the end of time. And realistically, it's probably more of like a 7. Like, it doesn't blow people out of the water, but you know, sometimes you just have affinity for movies. They just kind of grow on you over time and you kind of grow to love them more and more. So that's kind of what this was for me. But yeah, I mean, that's You've Got Mail. I could probably spend a lot more time talking about the internet and dating and all that, but it was just interesting to see it portrayed on film versus, like, you know, I wonder what kind of, if we had, like, let's just take a few minutes here before we close out. Like, I wonder what a movie would look like if we took something in the era of like a You've Got Mail, where if we're talking about technology and relationships and film, if we took something like a You've Got Mail and you've got her on the other end of the spectrum, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe I'm just brain farting and can't think of something right now, but something kind of in the middle of where we're kind of in a happy medium. Like, it obviously hasn't gotten, like, the technology has gotten infinitely better. So if we're kind of on the spectrum, the technology takes off. You know, that's great. That's fantastic. It's fantastic. Believe me, it's so huge, so fantastically. I love her. It's a fantastic, huge cafefe movie. But, like, our relationship with technology kind of dips. So I think that's kind of the danger of, you know, if we're not conscious of it and we're not actively putting ourselves in position to where the technology aspect is the only thing we rely on. Obviously, like, the whole, like, dating thing isn't going to be better. I think it'd be interesting to see a movie kind of take that space and work with it, because, you know, at some point we're going to kind of hit like a critical mass and it's going to flip flop. Like, so we take, if we're talking about like the era of You've Got Mail, so like the internet just starts in her. I don't know if we're at that point yet to where we're solely relying on technology to connect us to people. I mean, obviously that's something that's very prominent. So, I mean, I don't know, like, that's something you don't hear a lot of people necessarily talking about. It's just kind of norm. Like, well, you know, you met them online. So a lot of the online stuff, I think, has been destigmatized because, I mean, it's kind of a numbers game, right? Like, you have to put yourself in position to meet, you know, X amount of people. And it's like the episode of Seinfeld. It's like, that's why I never meet anybody, Jerry. I don't have a great meeting story. like, people, and a lot of people don't. You know, because you kind of have your routine, your life, and your things that you go to. So it'd be interesting to see a film kind of deal with that. This got, you know, way intellectual and kind of out of bounds for a You've Got Mail, but that's where my brain goes with stuff like this. So, yeah, send me your thoughts. See what you guys think about, you know, what would a movie look like kind of dealing with kind of, I guess, modern relationships, and, you know, how we fix that. Because obviously there's no putting the genie back in the bottle when it comes to any of the technology aspect. So, you know, it's our responsibility, I think, to moderate it, you know, like, we have to find a way to moderate that. And, you know, maybe we'll find our Meg Ryan or our Tom Hanks or something. But that's the episode for the week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Probably didn't get in all the thoughts, all the things and rambling as I usually do, but thank you guys for tuning in this week. Be sure to check out theplotdemandsit.com. Get your merchandise. All the show is there. You can donate there as well. We're on Facebook at The Plot Demands It. and on Twitter at Plot Demands It. And you can find me on Twitter at John Manasco. That's JohnManasco. Thanks, and you guys have a great week. All right, all right, all right.